You come to Family Dollar for great deals on soda, snacks, and scents, but have you checked out our stylish selection of bed and bath decor? This week, select items are 25% off. You don't want to miss this deal, so visit your neighborhood Family Dollar today.
All right, Monday morning, start of the week, and this is the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. I am your co-host who is struggling to come up with new ways to open every single episode.
But you do such a good job. You're amazing.
No, stop it. I used my childhood secret language a couple weeks ago.
You did. That was so awesome.
That was a thing. That was
a
thing.
I still am jealous I never did that.
I can't decide if I'm going to edit that out or not.
Don't.
No!
Get out of
here.
Do that.
Edit you out.
Wow. It escalated quickly.
Monday morning punching. Yeah, right? It's fine.
Yeah. Coming off that weekend, gets a little aggressive sometimes. However, I know that last week we talked about value-driven content.
Yes.
And the need to stop selling every time you post something on social media. We are going to continue that narrative in today's conversation and rip through all things that are social media engagement. So, Koobs.
What? Yes.
When you hear, actually, let's do it this way because it's kind of a fun little twist.
Gosh.
When somebody says social media engagement, in your experience, what does the average business owner or marketing director hear? And two, what is the actual definition if there's a discrepancy?
This social media engagement, I think, can be taken two different ways. Mm-hmm. One is, are people engaging with us on social media? And to me, to some people, that means, did I get more brand likes? Did they engage with my post? And then there's social media engagement that I think of is, are you building that relationship?
Yep.
And so both can, the first one can be a part of the second one, in my opinion. But for me, when I think about social media engagement, it is, are we building that up over time? Mm-hmm. And is it moving something for us as a company? And that something isn't always the same objective.
No.
We might have different things that we're working towards. But for me, that's what I always am what's the goal? And then let's build engagement for that thing.
Yep. So.
What about for you? Is that similar? Close?
Yeah, I would say you could just smash them into one almost, right?
Yeah.
Where it's are we seeing that groundswell effect because we're building that relationship via engagement, via having conversations, actually talking to people and not just, like their comment and say, thanks, man, right? Actually having a conversation, which does take a significant time investment. And I'll come back to that. But two, when you talk about, did they like my post? Did they comment? Did they go to the metric side of it? I still view that as part of the same thing. It's just the data set to kind of measure it, right?
Right. Well, and I think too, when we think about engagement, understanding the type of engagements that are out there is also really critical.
Yeah.
So there's different types of social media users in our environment. We have the voyeur who's just always watching. They're going to passively engage, which is maybe throw you a like, which is a big deal for them.
Yeah.
And then you have your people that are engaged. So they might write a comment. They might even go as far as share something. But that then is 80% of our social users are actually voyeurs in reality.
Right.
And then you get probably 75%. And then you get 20% or a little bit more than that are engagers. And then you get a very small percentage of people that are actually activators or your advocates. And so I think it's really important for a company as you go to do your engagement to understand how your clientele fit into that. So, for example, if you're a company trying to reach a bunch of introverts, you shouldn't expect the same engagement as Skittles.
Right. Yeah, for real.
But like, or like the wow factor. And so I think it's just really also then making sure, you know, you're, as you're thinking about, how do I measure engagement? What does engagement look like for my audience?
Right.
I need more comments. Well, that you could be breaking your customer if you're asking them to comment, right, or yeah, to share.
Read
or,
the room kind of deal.
Yeah. Right. So I always kind of think that that's a really important element to call out for people, and also know your relationship. So when people right. are like, I'm brand new to Facebook, I want to get this kind of activation. I'm like, dude, no one knows you yet. First, we right. got to get people to even know you exist.
Right.
So,
right. I didn't get any likes on that post. That's because there's 7 people who follow you.
And your conscience sucked, but whatever. Right. No, I'm kidding. You know. I'm not that harsh. But I think, so that to me is like a big piece of it that people have to kind of be mindful
yeah.
of.
Yeah. So let me hit you with this. And you hit me with your like knee-jerk reaction to it as to whether or not this is like a methodology that most organizations should subscribe to. So I'm a big believer that if you have the capacity to do so, every single comment on your content should have engagement, i.e. a like comment kind of, you know, scenario where you're able to build that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a lot of work, right?
So like, it is.
My other podcast, right? No, I have another show that, you know, currently has about 16,000 followers, likes on Facebook specifically. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty active community. So if right. we post a thing, you know, the average post will get a grip of engagement.
Right.
And I've worked really, really hard to make sure, and there's a few other people that help out with this too, but worked really hard to make sure that if somebody comments, you know, I don't have to have this huge debate or like long-winded conversation, but something that's meaningful. Yeah. And we have seen, we've gotten so many emails based on those conversations of people saying like, I love the show. You know, you guys are great. The personality is awesome. The topics are great. But the fact that like I can have a conversation with you in the thread.
And you mean in social media?
Yeah.
You can have a conversation?
You can do that.
What?
And I mean, I wish I could say like, oh man, I had that idea, but like, that's just emulating Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah. But that's also being a human, right? So that's the thing that I think is a big miss is people think engagement as a brand has to be this like polished. And there are times where, yes, it's whatever, but you have to have those elements in or else there's no reason for someone to actually connect and engage with you.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really big misnomer. I mean, there's social media tools where you can now set like automated responses based on certain key terms. And yeah, those are great for some like block and tackle things. I'm not going to say I don't recommend them to clients, but I always, always, always say you have to have someone checking in 2 to 3 times a day on your feed, especially for the larger brands, to make sure that when there isn't something that's applicable for the auto-generated response to go to.
Yeah.
You need to engage. Plus, reviews on Facebook are crazy important right now. And actually, Facebook has become one of the biggest drivers of localized search. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about engagement and building your reputation and building those connections, it is so critical to make sure that you're responding. So if you get a crappy review, you should very publicly, whether or not you're in the wrong, but acknowledge the review, let them know you would love to learn more about their experience. Yep. And then you can follow everything up in it like a private message experience.
Yep.
But then when someone leaves you a glowing review, capture that, right? We talk about an advocate. Someone just went on Facebook, left you a 5-star review with a comment. Why not get them to fall in love with you more in that moment?
Like
capitalize on that momentum that you get.
And when you say capture that, to be specific, we are not talking about copy and paste that onto the homepage of your website as what our clients are saying, like engage, talk to that person.
Like capture that experience and then they like you right then, right? How often do we, in a real-time setting, get a notification anymore where it's like, no, someone just said they are in love with your company or your product or service.
Yeah.
Continue the conversation and try and deepen that relationship.
Straight
that is the whole point of social media.
And that methodology applies to Google reviews as well. Mm-hmm. Whether it's positive, negative, in between, doesn't matter. Right. If you get a Google review, respond.
Yeah.
As quickly as you can as well, right? And so, I mean, the other side of it too is like, yes, there is the opportunity to build the relationship in that moment. And that is like the biggest win factor there. Mm-hmm. But there is a little bit of like algorithmic manipulation at play here too. So the example I'll give you is this, right? So if I talk about the other podcast that I referenced earlier, you know, the average post we put out there, depending on what it is, it's going to get anywhere from 30 to 100 likes, you know, 10 to 30 comments, handful of shares. Mm-hmm. And I don't boost stuff on this anymore, right? We don't even mess with that. But then you get the spike one, like the anomalous one that's, and that's typically curated content as well. And so there was one that went out on November 6th, curated content from some from a science website, talking about the Voyager, you know, entering into interstellar space. Got about 1,000 likes, about 300 comments, and about 500 shares. And so maintaining pace with jumping in and replying to every single comment, not possible, right? At least with my schedule. But I did it every chance that I could.
Right.
Because it just helps make Facebook's algorithm view that content as that much more relevant. Right. Right. And then if more people are having back and forth conversation within that thread, that's showing up in
more and more.
Exactly.
And that's where I think a big kind of a learning opportunity for companies and people is that within social media, what you're talking about gaming the algorithm system, as if we go back to, if you go back and listen to last week's episode talking about that value-driven content that's going to get that engagement. So if you are putting out post after post after post that gets like no engagement, no comments, nothing, Facebook is going to continue to diminish that organic reach that you're getting.
Which is already below 2% out of the gate.
Right. Which, considering when I started Facebook work, I worked with a company where we paid for 100,000 likes. And now I'm like, what a waste of money that was.
Right.
But whatever. Not bitter that they did that. But it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, so now your organic reach is super duper tiny. So it's important that you're building on that momentum every time you post as well. Because when you have a crazy successful post like that, the next time they went, that his other podcast went and put a post out, it automatically generated and received a higher organic reach than had that previous post bombed.
Yeah.
And again, Facebook is, you could put something out that you think is going to be gold and it's going to bomb. Yeah. That's just life.
Yep.
However, Facebook does recognize the ebbs and flows of engagement and interaction. So they kind of let you rebound. But then if you can go in and comment and continue to facilitate conversation, that only helps you rebound faster.
Yeah.
And also your audience feels so touched and like, holy crap, they care.
Yeah, there's
and
a relationship here. It humanizing the experience, right?
Yeah, I always joked, I had a guy, a company I worked for, and his mom always posted on, so I worked for a .com site where we had 300 websites, merged them all to one, and he ran the telescopes division. And so we had a whole stream of content around like the stars and the moon and like mapping. And anytime we posted about his stuff, his mom would comment and he would get so embarrassed. And I'm like, no, she's helping us so much.
Yeah.
She would just like talk to every person in the feed. And
she's doing it for us.
Like, she's the best. So, but that's great.
Yeah.
Like sometimes moms can help out.
But see, that's what happens is you develop those super fans. Right. And that's like with this other podcast specifically, that there are a solid number of individuals who like engage with so much content, share so much content.
Yeah.
They become those super fans. And once they're developed and they feel that connection, they kind of take the workload for you a little bit. Right?
Well, adding to that, so Facebook recently, and I say recently as in like a few months ago, that you can now see if you're like the power user of a page.
Yeah.
So my daughter's a part of this group called the Lucky Finn Project. It's a group association for families who have a kid with a limb difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go in and I'll like most posts. And if, you know, they'll always highlight like a new parent has a question or someone needs advice. And I'll usually go in and respond. And so I got like tagged as like, I forget even what it's called, but like the super user for the group or something. And
nice.
But as the user, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then you almost felt this obligation to like, I gotta like keep responding.
Oh, I'm an admin now.
Now I'm like a top five responder for this group. So clearly what I say is important, false, but Facebook made you feel that way.
Right.
So then if you can get people though to want to get that badge from your organization, like that's huge.
Yeah.
And then you could like highlight them. Like I'm seeing brands be like, hey, thanks to our top 5 advocates this week.
And,
So using the information that Facebook is literally spoon feeding you to like reward people and to thank them is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. So one quick question for you before we tease next week and we dip out for the day. And just because it's been a minute since I've had like such heavy client focus in the social space, because that's not typically what my day looks like anymore. What I have done in the past, not only with my podcast, but with clients in my past life at Evil, is when you do have that post that organically sees the spike, right? It doesn't have to be a monster spike, but a big enough spike that there's noticeable difference there. That's what we would put the boost budget behind.
Yes.
Right? Because that is already having that groundswell effect. And then you throw, you know, $50, $200, $500, whatever your budget allows behind that. And then it just cascades and explodes from there.
It explodes from there. But then I always say, like, what foot did you want to put forward? Do you want to try and reach a new audience with a post that's like bombing? Or do you want people who are within your target audience to see a post that like, holy shit, this company has 1,000 likes on this page. This is amazing. Yeah. Maybe I should like this podcast.
Exactly.
Plus with how the advertising works, if you follow, you can target people who like pages similar to yours or target the friends of your followers. So now they're going to see that, oh, John Smith also likes this page. Well, now it creates that community and build up. So outside of the extending of reach, also just from a visual, again, we've said you get 3 seconds to capture that attention.
And I feel like that's generous.
I think it's very generous. So if you get that quick scroll action and automatically I see thousands of people have liked it, I'm probably going to pause because, well, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah,
versus if no one has engaged, they're going to be like hard pass.
Right. Exactly.
So
good. Well, it's good to know that that is a smart way to approach it.
It's very smart.
Yeah. So I think the takeaway for you guys this week is make sure a few things. When you get a review, Facebook, Google Plus.
Wow.
When you get a MySpace review, make sure you log into your Pure Volume account.
Hey, they tried to bring MySpace back. They tried.
They did.
It became a music thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Pour
however, whenever you get a review, regardless of the platform, Facebook, Google, whatever, make sure that you reply to all of them, right? And make sure that when a comment comes in on a post within the social space, engage with that person. It's an opportunity for you to develop a relationship. We did poke at boosting a little bit today. We are going to talk about social advertising, and we'll get to that in a second. But like Angie said, if you see a spike organically within the way a post is performing, probably a pretty good indicator that that's a prime opportunity for boost budget. So just look at the data. Facebook's giving it to you.
I know. Right? They're making it easy.
The spoon feeding. Here comes the airplane. Right? But what are we doing next week?
So next week, why don't we just continue down the lane of social advertising?
Yeah, I think that's great because we've talked about value-driven content, stop selling all the time.
Yeah.
How to talk to people to build relationships. I feel like it's time to talk about when should we actually start selling?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's do that. That'll be
awesome.
Fun.
Well, thanks for the great chat. These are always fun for me.
Always enjoy it. Same.
Also, don't forget to follow us on social media, and we'll promise we'll do a better job updating or having people help us do the updating.
Yeah.
Because we do it minimally.
Yeah.
So, engage with us. So we want to come to social. So it'll be fun.
Awesome. We'll make sure that you guys hit us up on social, smash that subscribe button, tune in next week when we talk about all things social advertising. And until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
The morning doesn't always start when you want it to. It starts when it has to. And day or night, Nebraska Public Power District, together with your local public power utility, is up when you are. From your first cup of coffee to when your family gathers around the dinner table. And when the day winds down and it's finally time to call it a night, we keep the porch light on, ready to do it all over again. Nebraska Public Power District, powering your every day, every day.